All right, we are officially moving to our new building in 2 weeks. You guys excited? I'm excited. All right, so in March 1st, we're starting our address rehearsals all together as a church. We are down the street at 10:30. We're all doing it together. It's going to be fun. And so it's been exciting. It's been exciting being involved in this process and seeing so many people get involved and all the different ministries that are forming. We've already had 3 different ministries built in just this last couple weeks, actually, which is crazy. And so you guys are stepping up and really getting involved. And I'm really proud. I'm proud to be part of Adventure. I'm proud to be part of this family and excited to see what God is doing. And so let me share with you a couple more opportunities that that we still have coming up. So all of the things that we're bringing down there, because we have to be kind of a mobile church, need to fit in that cool new trailer that we got and maybe some more. And so if you are able to help us, we need some help trying to figure out a way to fit it all in there creatively. And so if that's a gift of yours, we'd love your help. Second is we need some muscle to help move it. And so every Sunday we're going to be moving stuff down there before setting it up and then taking it out. And we don't want to put all the weight of that on the people teaching the classes and already serving. And so if you're able to help us out that way. Next is kind of an exciting opportunity, the video production team. Right now, we're able to film the service, and we put audio online. We'd love to expand that and see that continue to grow and actually have video, and then maybe even expand that to live streaming. And one of the challenges of the new building, at least initially, is that we have one service. So those that are serving in children's ministry, they'll be on a rotation. But one challenge is we want them to be able to experience the service as well, or even people that can't make it to the service. And so we've talked about the idea of having some sort of live stream available online, but that requires people that have those skills. So if that's something you're able to help with, we'd love your help. And the last is kind of web and mobile design. So we have a website, and we're launching an app, maybe. All right. So I created an app. I am not a mobile developer by any stretch of the imagination, but it was a need. So I thought I'd give it a try. So if and when it actually is approved, you can try it out. I'll let you know how it goes. But then you can see it. My hope was if I tried and you saw how bad it was and you're like, hey, I'm a mobile developer, then you'd be like, wow, this guy really needs help. So I'll let you know how that goes. But if you are able to help in any of these areas or you want to continue to get involved in the other ministries, there's a sign-up sheet in the back. I'd love to get your information and have an opportunity to talk more about that. And so real quick, 2 other announcements. Again, we have our Discover Adventure Orientation class, which is February 22nd at 9 a.m. And this basically is an opportunity for anyone, whether you've been here at Adventure for a long time or today's your first day. This is an opportunity for you to learn more about who we are at Adventure and what we stand for, and we'd love to have you. And then next is Adventure University has officially started. It's Sundays through March 29th at 6 p.m., and there's childcare provided. And the message I want to send to you guys is it's not too late. The classes have started, but we'd love to have you join us tonight. So, Randy.
Awesome. Thank you, BJ. Well, guys, BJ's kind of growing up, isn't he? I mean, many of you don't know, but I was BJ's youth pastor, so I can still remember when he was 12 going for a walk with him on a little Coke walk where he wanted to talk to me, and he's like, can we meet and talk? And so we're walking around the neighborhood, and he's like, how do I make a bigger impact in my junior high group as a junior higher, you know? And so now he's our youth pastor. He came, do you believe 9 years ago? 9 years ago, he came to Adventure Church, didn't have a clue about youth ministry or what he was doing, newly married, and now he's got a combined youth groups of 70 kids and 20 adults that work in team under his leadership, and 5 interns who are just finished their first year of training to become youth pastors themselves. That he's been investing in. So, right? So BJ's growing up. And the Adventure Leadership Team, we've recognized that with him. And so we have offered him a new role at Adventure Church as an associate pastor here. And with two areas of focus. One will be to continue to oversee youth and develop that through his interns and through oversight with that. But then we're moving him into a director position of ministry operations. So he will be over all ministries at Adventure Church, because BJ's gifting is to see the big picture, see a whole bunch of different teams. You know, I can juggle about 3 or 4 balls at once. BJ can juggle 50 without stressing out, right? I'm like stressed when you add a fourth. You know, he has this ability to go, okay, this is the target. Here's how we can all pull together and meet that target. So he's going to be overseeing all ministries to focus on how can we more effectively reach the vision of Adventure Church. And so let's just welcome him into that new role. And I'm super excited about it. Jerry Griffin is growing up. I know you already think he's old, but he is actually growing up. He's older than me, but and looks younger for some reason. But he and Cindy have been praying about for last year or so possibly planting a church. And he has come out of the closet on that and is now actually we're officially moving him into a planter from Adventure Church role. And he'll continue in this next year being director of business operations for the church. And he's half-time doing that now. But he's going to be in about a year. We're going to start really ramping up with him building a team to plant a church out of Adventure into Redmond Ridge area. And so he and Cindy will be leading that. And we're going to be asking you guys. The way it works is kind of I don't know if you know, but our heritage at Adventure Church is we're a church planting church. We came from a church plant that planted us. It's in our veins. It's you know, sort of deliberate church splitting. I'm kidding. you're like, what do I do with that? Our grandmother was North Shore Baptist Church. They planted Cascade. Cascade planted us. We planted in Everett a church, and we planted a church in a bar as well. And then now we're looking at Redmond Ridge. We have this dream. Okay, and we've kind of let it kind of slide for the last couple of years, but the dream is this: if we could plant a church that's a fully functioning, the most effective way to reach a community is to plant new churches in it, because it's a group of very motivated people, and church plants for some reason they just are able to reach new people more effectively, just statistics say the most effective way to reach a community for Christ is to plant the new church community in it. And so our dream is this: what if we planted church planting churches? And every 2 years we planted a church planting church. In 6 years we'd have 8 churches. In 8 years we'd have 14. In 10 years we'd have 18 churches. Let me make sure my numbers are right. 24. In 10 years we'd have 24. Then we get to go to heaven. It's over. But so that is part of our vision. And do you know the reason why we're here is because 18 years ago, on a whiteboard in a room at North Shore Baptist Church, they had this vision and they went, you know what? How many churches, if we could plant the church every 2 years, how many churches could we have in the next 10 years? And they said the same thing and they decided to move on it. Now in 10 years, they didn't quite have the 24. They had 17. But it's been 17 years, and now there's 37. Because that day, my name and several other names got on a whiteboard, and they began praying. And there are churches all over this Puget Sound area because of that vision. And we're a part of that heritage. And so the map is, you can see the map of the churches in the lobby area, right, if you can call that a lobby. Area, the closet that you walk through. So anyway, that's where we're going. And so we're going to be asking you in a year to pray about Redmond Ridge, because they're going to need a team. And we're asking all of our ministry leaders, you start getting ready. You start building to replace yourself, okay? Because that's we want to see the kingdom move out, okay? So just FYI, we are all growing up, aren't we? Yeah. We're growing up. And and a part of that growing up, I wanted to read a passage about growing up in 1 John. Look If you have your Bibles, I just invite you to look at 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9. And first I want to give you the context of the passage that I really want to read. The context is about loving when it's hard. Loving somebody that's hard to love, loving when it's tough, okay? So it's verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. So if you have something rooted, you have an offense, you have something going on in you, you haven't dealt with it, you've got anger, hatred, bitterness, you're actually in a darkness, okay? Anyone who loves their brother or sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. See, because when we have that sin of offense we talked about last week, when we have that going on, we're actually stumbling. And he says, but anyone who hates his brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. See, there's this blindness that comes over us. And then look what he says. This is the part I want you to hear. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of the word of God, lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. I love the graciousness of that passage. You know, it's just this children, young men, fathers, inheriting that, young women, mothers, right? There's a certain sort of spiritual, there's certain things that spiritual children have learned, right? And it's wonderful. God is so pleased with that. And then there's different things that spiritual young men, young women have learned, right? The overcoming the evil one. They've learned to be students of the word of God, right? There's this development in that. And then there's an entirely different set of things that fathers have learned, mothers have learned, right? You have known the Father. There's this intimacy with God, this camaraderie with God. I love that graciousness that John gives us there, you know. And a couple of things that I think it you know, awakens is, number one is we're all underway, right? We're all growing up. You know, we're growing up spiritually, you know, children, young men, fathers, and we're not all in the same place. And that's okay. It's totally okay. We're underway. It's happening. We're getting there. But I think that there's a lot of things we're growing up in. But I want to suggest that the primary, the most important way that our growth is measured, that we're intended to be growing up, is the context here is, in the context here is relationally. It's by how you love. Our growth is measured relationally by how you love, the purity of your love. That's why 1 John's all about loving one another. You notice that? In his old age, the old apostle, who used to be the son of thunder, is now, my little children, love one another, right? That's in his old age, he realizes this is the bullseye, see? And it's the purity of your love is growing. The selflessness of your love is growing. The strength of your love, right? And that is so much the measure of our maturity, not just loving those who love you, but those who disagree with you, those who've hurt you, right? Which is why the Apostle Paul, you know, after giving us this whole thing about the church, you know, the body of Christ. And you remember last week we talked about the enemy stealth bomber, you know, is the sin of offense. But in 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Jesus Christ, after Paul talks about the body and all the parts are needed and they all have different functions, then he says, let me show you the most excellent way. After he talks about how it's desperate for us to work together, how it's critical for us to work together as a body, then he says, but the most important thing is your love. 1 Corinthians, right? I love the first, New King James Version. The New King James Version says, you know how we have the word long-suffering? It says in New King James, love suffers long. Think about that. Love suffers a long time. You know, it's interesting. The Apostle Paul, at the end of telling us all about how the body's supposed to function, he says, but let me show you what's most important. Let me show you the most excellent way. It's growing in this loving. Okay? And we're growing up. We're growing up. And we've been talking about the body of Christ and the church and how the gates of hell will not stop us. But the one thing that does stop a church, that it's taken down church after church, is Satan's secret weapon. If you remember, I had this mouse trap up here. Remember that? You know, and Susan Madera this morning, she was like, I found pen pieces everywhere. You know, I was cleaning up after you. You know, this thing just exploded, these pens. It's a very strong, strong trap. And we talked about the trap. You know, persecution didn't take down the church. Hardship didn't take down the church. But Satan's attack of moving people into offense, moving people to take up offense against each other, is what takes down church after church after church, group after group after group. And Jesus said in Luke 17, it is impossible that no offenses will come. They're going to come. You're going to get hurt. The offenses will come to you. And God's expectation throughout Scripture, Proverbs 27, 3 and 4, Matthew 18, Matthew 5, Galatians 6, and a host of other passages tell us that God expects us, commands us to do what does not come naturally. To go to them when you're hurt. Right? Matthew 5, leave your gift in front of the altar. Go be reconciled to your brother. Proverbs 27. Better, listen to it. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Amen. The kisses of an enemy will kiss up to you. Will the kisses of an enemy will be many, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. Amen. Right? Amen. Or as Steve Carrier said after between services, he said, a friend will stab you in the front. Right? They're gonna be honest with you. They're gonna go to you. All these passages and a host of other ones, Galatians 6, if a brother is in sin, those of you who are spiritual should go to them and restore them gently. But go to them. What is the expectation of God? Every time is you go. And it does not come naturally. We don't want to go. I don't want to go. There's a host of reasons. It doesn't work. I've tried it. It doesn't work. They'll get mad at me. I don't know what'll happen. Right? And we have all these fears and reasons why we don't go to the person who offended us. And then we end up in this trap. We're stuck. Because as soon as we take up offense and we don't go, we're trapped. We're in this bitterness because time, offense plus time equal bitterness. Offense plus time equals bitterness. And so, we talked about that last week. You know, regardless of our personality type or comfort with it, God expects, he wants us to go to the person that we have a rift with and tell them to reconcile that rift. And this week I retook the Myers-Briggs personality test. You guys ever take the Myers-Briggs personality test? I'm an ENFJ. Okay? Says in my profile that I don't like confrontation. I avoid it. But it doesn't matter. God commands me to go, right? It doesn't matter if it's our personality type. It doesn't matter if we don't like it. It's a command of God. So offense happens when we excuse ourselves from what for whatever reason, from going to the person, because when we don't go, we get stuck, okay? Okay. I didn't plan on talking about this a second week, okay? I honestly didn't. It was, we kind of had a week of where we could, with the series, have a little bit of extra things happen. And a woman who shared with me last week, she was like, you know, I really appreciate it. I kind of asked her advice. You know, what did you think? And she said, I appreciate that you told us that we need to go, but you didn't tell us how. How do you go? And I really respected that. And I went, you know what? We need to stop. We need to take another week and talk about how. How do you go to the person? What do you do? First of all, how do you deal with it in your own heart? Like, what personal things do I need to kind of look at in my own life to go? And then how do I have that conversation? And so I've got a sheet of paper on if you want to grab it around you. If you need a pen, I want to invite you to raise your hand. Just slip your hand up. Keep it up, okay? Because the ushers are going to come and give you a pen. It's kind of a fill-in-the-blanks thing. This is something that I gave you just to walk through with me. It's got a couple of different categories, two lists I'm going to give you. One side is personal growth steps, and then the other side is how to handle the conversation well. All right? And so we're going to walk through that together. Before we dive into it, I want to just remind you that it's really not God's agenda to create heaven on earth for us. Okay? Not yet. Not yet. It's coming, right? A new heaven, a new earth. But rather, his agenda is to grow us up, to learn to love in difficult situations, love difficult people. Is, you know, so that's part of growing up. And spiritual children dodge it. They run from it. They hide. Spiritual grown-ups roll up their sleeves. They step in an honoring and honest manner, and they go. They go. And I got to thinking about what's one of the hardest situations I can imagine having to go to somebody who's hurt you? And I thought in the case where there's been a divorce, you know, where you're having to have conversations with an ex-spouse, right? And those very difficult situations. Any of you who know somebody who's in that situation, or if you're in that situation, it can be so hard to relate to an ex-spouse in a way that you know, doesn't sow the kingdom of darkness, it sows the kingdom of God. Right, in a way that doesn't allow offense to root in my heart, that doesn't villainize them or give away my sense of self, right? But you can do it. It can be done as part of growing up. It's not easy, but you have what it takes if that's your situation. And that's one of the most difficult situations I could think of. There may be others, but I think these principles will help with regardless of how difficult the situation is. The Apostle Paul, when we take up offense, it makes the body of Christ sick. The Apostle Paul said this: if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Right? What's his point? What does it mean as far as it depends on you? Right. Have you done your diligence? Right? As far, do your diligence, right? But he's also giving us it. But you can't take responsibility once you've done diligence on your side for the other side of it, right? I think that's gracious, but it's also, we have a responsibility to do what depends on us. I love this Proverbs 16. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, isn't that good? He makes even his enemies live at peace with him. And so, let's talk about these lists. Okay, look at the first one on your personal growth steps. Start with some self-examination. All right, this is where Jesus takes us first. He says, look hard at yourself, right? Matthew 7, 4 through 5. How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? And Jesus, in his subtle, gentle, kind way, says, you hypocrites, right? I just love how gentle he is. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus tells it like it is. He's kind, but he's straight, right? So you need to become very in tune with your own story in it. In a conflict, you know, have you done anything to make the problem more a problem? Okay? The next thing is, what can I own? And repent of that. Genuinely, from your heart. Ask the question, what can I own here? Okay? Another step is, become very aware, just in terms of self-examination, become very aware of offense rooting in your heart towards someone. Okay? I mean, I don't know about you, but I can feel those roots start to penetrate deeper and deeper into the soil of my heart, you know, and as soon as if that happens, if I start feeling that, you know, I'm like, you know, Ephraim, gosh, I can't believe you, you know, in my heart, I'm going, man, I can't believe you said that to me, you know, and I've got this thing starting to root. I need to like, it's like this trap that's coming into my heart. Be aware of it and be very conscious of it, and don't let it go down there. Run, deal with it. It's very hard to get out once those roots are deeply, hard to get them out once those roots go deep. If you have held offense with them, own that when the time comes, okay? We're going to talk about that in a minute, but what to do in the moment. But it's you looking at them and saying, hey, I let myself, you know, can I share with you? I let myself become pretty angry, and I let myself have some really, I took offense against you. I let myself have some things I believed about you before I got all the facts, before I heard from you, before I came to you and actually had the conversation. I let this fantasy world in my mind create this scenario, and I didn't really hear from you. And I just want to start off by telling you I'm sorry about that. Would you forgive me? Is that pretty hard? Could you just say with me right now? Just let the words come out of your mouth. I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? The rest of you say it now. Okay? Just like try. I mean, it's really hard. I know. It's like, I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? I mean, I don't know if you can feel what I feel when I think that, but it's like there is like, it's like trying to pry out something that's really stuck to go to that place. Nobody wants it. There's this pride and there's all of this stuff. And it's hard. But when you know, if you have held offense towards someone, own it. Own it with them. It will set you free, right? It's so easy to come to conclusions without the whole story and take up offense without the facts. So I apologize for that, right? And now, would you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. Okay, would it be okay for us to now talk about what was happening for me in that, why I was upset? I'd like to talk it through with you. So now we move into how to bring it to them, right? Okay, there's always two sides to every story, right? I've learned that you know, I've had a fair bit of chance to work with couples in marriage work, and I've learned to, you don't talk to one spouse for very long without the other one there, right? You know why? Because when the other one's there, the story's always different. Not because they're intending to deceive at all, but because they're sharing with you through pain and their own experience. So they're painting it. They're telling you about the accident that happened on 12th and Main, but it's from their vantage point, their experience, their fear, and not, you don't get the whole story. And I've just learned, you know, there's always two sides to every story, and it's hard to see clearly when you're in pain. So at this point, you know, you may find, you know, as you've looked deeply into it and you've asked yourself if I held offense, you may find that really a lot of it was you. You know, that genuinely, maybe they don't have a sin against you and you have just taken offense. Be sure then to release them. If you come to the point in just the self-examination to go, they really didn't do anything wrong. I've been mad at them for 6 months and they didn't do anything wrong. Because I've self-examined, I've realized I've just went to a fence and I didn't have all the facts. And you release them, do it. You don't have to have the meeting with them now, but make sure you really release them. Follow me? Make sure you really let them go in your heart and you can have really positive heart toward them. Does that make sense? It's possible to realize you can have an offense. I can have an offense against somebody for months. Realize it was me. Let them go or sort of forgive them, but then still kind of grit my teeth when I see them. You can too. So you got to do the work of really releasing them, okay? Next one. Become difficult to offend. Remember Jesus when he was on the cross? He was hanging there. What did he say? Nice and loud. Father, they know not what they do. What paradigm is he using to come up with that statement? What's the perspective of the Lord? They know not what they do? We can assume it's because it's the Lord, his paradigm's correct, right? So what's he saying? He's putting himself in their shoes. They know not what they do. In other words, if they could see through my eyes, if they understood, they're crucifying the Lord of glory, right? And he's like, forgive them. They don't really understand what they're doing. It's incredibly gracious. If they really understand what they're doing, crucifying God, then they wouldn't have done it. It's recognizing they have their own wounds. They have their own wounds. They have their own attack from Satan they're dealing with. Sometimes they're like a wounded animal and they lash out. It's seeing them through God's eyes. It's getting a bigger picture of you know, they don't realize. Oftentimes people don't realize that they're hurting you and believing lies. Okay? But caution here. Caution. Don't let this be your escape from going to them, okay? It's easy just to kind of go under the, I'll be Jesus on the cross, you know, and I won't have to have that conversation. I'll just release them. But the problem is, deep down, I still haven't truly released their debt, right? You still believe evil about them. If you can't have reconciliation, if you can't delight in them, pray blessing on them, fellowship with them, enjoy them, then the debt's not released, okay? It's not a reconciliation. And so if you know that that's the case, it's something beneath the kingdom, the relationship's still beneath the kingdom. It's not a kingdom relationship now, it's a hurt relationship, then you still got to go. All right, another one, have faith enough to go to the people who've hurt you, right? Why do we have to have faith? Because we don't know how it's going to go, right? The unknown is scary. Will they get mad? Will they reject me? Will it make it worse so we don't want to go? And therefore, we don't obey Jesus. You know, we have this, I tried that, it didn't go well, so I don't do that. I'm not a confrontive personality. And whatever your reason for not obeying Jesus, you're stuck because you know Jesus said go, right? So faith says, you know, Jesus said, leave your gift in front of the altar. First go be reconciled to your brother, then come offer your gift. So I'll obey Jesus by trusting him with their response. Okay? Why does it take faith to go? Because it's scary. And the faith is Jesus can take care of their response and Jesus can take care of my fear of how it'll go. Okay? Another big one is, recognize sometimes you've done all you can. Sometimes you've done all you can. Right? This whole, you know, reconciliation takes two soft hearts. And truth is, sometimes it doesn't go well. Sometimes it doesn't go well. Remember, that's why Romans 12 says, as far as it depends on you. One of the reasons why, I don't know if I covered this hour, one of the reasons why I'm giving you this sheet is because, did I talk to you about this hour? The reason why I'm giving you this sheet is because you might be peaches and cream right now in your relationships. You don't have any problems. You're like, everybody's good, right? And you're not going to remember all this today. So I'm giving you this because my hope is that you'll fold this up and put it in your Bible, because in a week from now, you may have two offenses that are simmering right in the pan. And so pull this out. This is going to help you to walk through. This week, remember we gave out ropes last week and we had a knot tied in them and we made the commitment. People untied that knot, and several people have come to me and said, you know what, I had the conversation. I made the phone call. I set up the meeting. And I had the conversation to get that relationship right. Well done. Well done. This will help that conversation. Okay? So that's why this is a tool for you. I want to give you this as a tool. So recognize sometimes you've done all you can. What if they're not a believer? Right? And they don't have the same paradigm you do. They don't have the responsibility before God. I mean, they have responsibility before God ultimately, right? God's going to hold us all accountable regardless of whether we know him or not to obey him. But they don't have the same value system, the same paradigm, and they've offended you. They've hurt you, right? As far as it depends on you, you go to them. You love them in the context they're not a follower of Christ. It might be one of the most powerful evangelistic tools they've ever experienced, frankly, if you go to them with humility. But at some point, it may not go well. It takes two soft hearts, right? Once you've done as far as it depends on you, then release them. Forgive yourself. Forgive them, right? Because you can put their sin on Jesus. One day, God's going to show them his perspective of what happened in that rift. And they're going to go, oh my goodness, I really hurt Doug and I didn't know it. Or I really hurt Steve and I didn't realize it. One day they will see. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. One day it will all be clear. You can project that into the future and put their sin on the cross and let Jesus' death pay his blood pay for their sin. You can be released by forgiveness. Forgiveness is huge because somebody said forgiveness is setting a captive free and then finding out that the captive was you. You know? We need forgiveness for us. So, release them. Reconciliation takes two soft hearts. Five, keep it between you and God. Lean into a noble character. Lean into growing up by not soliciting advice from several people to vet the problem. Okay? Reason why do we do this? Why do we go to two or three people and talk it through? Validation, absolutely. Like, you know, we're building our case, so I talk to a few other people so I can sort of, you know, work it through so I can go in to win, you know? Or, you know, it's about screwing up the courage to go to them. But growing up means I take it to God for mulling. I mull it, I vet it with God. Now, sometimes you may need to seek advice. Can I give you some suggestions about that? One is, make it only one person that you go to. Keep the offender anonymous. Okay? If at all possible. And if at all possible, take it to someone outside the community. Outside the immediate community. Okay? I think that's, you know, we're growing up. Children, young men, young women, fathers, mothers, you know, we're growing up. It's very hard to not talk to others about an offense that was done to us. It's part of our maturing. Okay? Next one is choose to believe their heart is good. Okay? This is huge, huge, huge. Ezekiel 36 puts the gospel like this. This is the gospel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The gospel is you have a new heart, so do they. So you can believe that if it's a believer, that deep down their heart is good. Holding on to that's critical when you do this. It's critical. Because then you can spend, right? I want you to write down under this number six, spend an hour in their shoes. Just write that down. Spend an hour in their shoes. Not spending an hour imagining how they have horns growing out of their head and how they're demonically possessed, you know, but spend an hour in their shoes imagining if their heart is good deep down, then why might they have reacted or done the thing that they did that hurt me? Oh, maybe they were under warfare. Maybe they were under their own. Now, I'm not talking about excusing their behavior, but at least going in with a, I believe their heart is good because if they're a believer, they have a new one. It doesn't say, I will give you a new bad heart. Jeremiah tells us the heart is wicked. It's deceitful, you know, beyond measure. But that's old covenant. Now you have a new heart. It's really good news. Your deep heart is good, right? Jesus said, it was when he describes the parable of talents, he's talking about the one with, the parable of the sower, that the stands for those who receive the word and with a good and noble heart bear fruit. You have a new heart. And so it's good for you to trust that theirs is good too. Spend an hour in their shoes and kind of go, well, maybe Sally said that to me because she was dealing with her own fears, her own wounds. So it just gives you a lot of grace for them. And then refuse to believe that their heart is wicked. And then let's talk about always determine to do it quickly. Become a person who does not let the sun go down. Ephesians 6, the Apostle Paul says, in your anger, do not sin and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. How soon should you go to the person who's offended you? What causes the devil to get a foothold? Offense plus time equals bitterness. Right? Yeah. Huh? Quickly doesn't mean hastily. Be thoughtful, be deliberate. Does this mean do it that day? Wait, it's the word of God. It might, you know, I think if you can, do it that day. I mean, I believe in the literal interpretation of Scripture, absolutely. Is this literal or metaphoric? Well, one thing we can know for sure, it doesn't mean a month. It doesn't mean 2 weeks, even.
Sometimes it's got to simmer down a bit.
Sometimes it's good to simmer down, right? And you may need a little bit of time, but it's certainly the, just remember, it's, I get, it is impossible, Jesus said, that offenses will not come. Offenses will come. You will get hurt. Hurt plus time equals bitterness. It equals giving the devil a foothold because it's this trap we're talking about, that he's talking about. Don't give Satan space. Yeah. That's well said. Thank you. All right. How do we handle the conversation well? So flip your page, if that's how it is, right? Yeah. This is a lot faster, so we're going to go through these. Number one, set a time to meet face to face, if at all possible, okay? And just be honest about the goal of the meeting, right? Just don't set up a meeting. Hey, Ted, let's get together. Yeah. You know, and then you know, they're like thinking it's going to be great. And then you lower the boom. You know, don't do that. Hey, is there, you know what? there's some things that I've been struggling with in our relationship that I'd love to sit down and talk with you about. Would that be okay? Just be upfront, be honest with them. You don't have to say, I'm going to confront you. You know, that probably won't go well, but hey, can we sit down and talk? Okay, so set a time to meet face-to-face. Two, invite Jesus into it. So critical. Invite Jesus into it. Nothing that really matters can be done by you in your own strength. Okay? You need the Spirit of God. So you invite Jesus into it to give you the heart you need, the words you need, right? And to take care of the outcome. Nothing that really matters can be done by you in your own strength. Nothing that's eternal can be done by you in your own strength. If at all possible, invite Jesus into the meeting with them there. Do you mind if we pray? You know, just invite Jesus to come and just bless this conversation. Instead of, can we pray? Jesus, would you show Hank how wrong he's been? You know, probably not good. Next one is, this is great. This came from BJ. I asked a few people, hey, what do you do in confrontation that's really been effective? And BJ said this one. I asked permission. Hey, can I be honest with you about something that's going on in my heart? A couple of things that it does. And I get Christina's over here smiling at me. She's like, oh, I've had that conversation. You know, a couple things it does. One, it kind of gives the person a sort of a second to sort of get ready. Even a second is helpful. And then also when they say, yeah, sure, they just gave you permission, right, to share. And that's just kind. It's just a kind way. And it opens up so many doors instead of them. It keeps them from feeling like they're sideswiped, okay? Own your own feelings and own your own hurt, okay? I want you to know, I felt really hurt when you said to me last week, this. I want you to know that I felt really concerned by what you did at the Christmas celebration. When I watched you talk to Billy, you know, or whatever is going on, just own your own feelings. It's vulnerable, it's open, it's real, it gives them a safer environment for them to own. It keeps them from feeling like they might be getting set up. Now, be careful here, though, with your expectations. Because I felt really hurt by what you said to me last week with, you know, such and such. And then you're like, okay, now it's your turn. Right? We go there, right? Okay, it's your turn to now say, you know, you're going to own how you were hurt. And they may not. So be careful with your expectations about their response to just, but owning your feelings is critical. Affirm the relationship. This is really big. I want to talk to you because having a right relationship with you is really important to me. I care about my friendship with you. You matter to me. And it's critical that you say that. Here's the thing is, you might be thinking to yourself, well, I don't care. Well, I don't care about the relationship anymore. You wouldn't be hurt if you didn't care. You wouldn't be hurt if you didn't really care. The reason why you're hurt is because you care. And so you may be angry, you may be hurting, and it masks that care. but you need, you know, it's really huge for you to share that with them because it totally sets the environment. That you're not in this to do your Christian duty and sort of get it over with. You actually care about the relationship. Next one is define the real problem and stick to the issue, right? Things deteriorate when the real issue gets buried under reactions, diversions, emotions. if I just ask myself, why, what's really the issue? What's really going on here for me? It is the best thing you can do, okay? Because, you know, it's often less about what they said and more about how it hurt you. I felt belittled. No, that's the issue. Make the issue the real issue, you know? And so it's just good to ask yourself, what is the real problem? And then go after it. Stick with the real issue. Don't let it be sidestepped. And also take the attack out of the words, you know? there's a big difference between you saying, Jim, you were irresponsible and it upset me, from, Jim, it appears that you didn't follow through with what we said. And that upset me. Okay? Irresponsible might be true, right? But it's accusatory. Irresponsible is a judgment about them. And do you really know they were irresponsible? Do you have all the facts? You know? Stanley does. You know? Could they have appeared irresponsible? All right, a couple more here. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Once you've shared your feelings, listen to their perspective. Lean in. Be present. Use your body language. One of the most powerful communication techniques is to know that I know is to listen well. And so make sure your body language is conveying that you're open. And then propose a solution. Remember, the relationship is more important than the issue. So when you're working toward a solution, Philippians 2, 4, and 5 tell us we should look not only to our own interests, but the interests of Jesus Christ. Our attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but he made himself nothing, a servant. He came with humility. We come with humility as we propose a solution in humility. So I would just write in there, humility under solution, and then forgive. Forgive others as Christ forgave you. Forgiveness is both an event and a process. So make forgiveness concrete by these four promises. I love these four promises. I won't bring this up and use it against you in the future. I promise I'm not going to dwell on it in my own heart and mind. I promise I'm not going to talk to other people about it. And I promise I'm not going to let it stand between us or hinder us in our personal relationship. So a lot more could be said, but here's your how-to. Please, if this is a helpful tool for you, put it in your Bible, fold it up so you can access it later. And Jeff's going to come up and just close our time with a really cool announcement.
A little cool announcement. So we have new members joining the Adventure family this morning. Griffin family, if you want to come on up. John and Yolanda. There you go. Come on. So we wanted to invite them up and just introduce them and pray over them. John, do you want to introduce your family?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the welcome. My goodness. Yeah. So, yes, this is my wife, Yolanda, and my daughters, Andy and Joey, and my son, Noah. And so we're thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited about just walking through. They went through the membership process, which is coming to the new members class, which the next one is this next coming Sunday, the 22nd at 9 a.m. in the fellowship hall. BJ talked about that. If you are newer to Adventure or a longtime attender but not a member, I'd encourage you to come check that out. And then you guys met with one of the elders and just kind of shared your testimony, your story of coming to know Christ. And so we're super excited to have you guys with us. And I've got to know you a little bit. Had fun hanging out at the men's retreat together. And another cool thing is just seeing them jumping right in, like with the move and different places to step into ministry. Both of them have showed interest in different areas of being involved and being a part of the family and helping out. So appreciate that. So we just want to pray over you guys and welcome you into the family this morning. So if you guys would just join me. And Lord, we just thank you for the Griffin family. You thought them up and you created them. And you have them in this place right now to take part of the larger body of Christ, but to do that and express that through Adventure Church in this community. And so we just pray for John and Yolanda. We pray for Andy and Joey, and we pray for Noah, that you would just open their eyes to their place here in the body of Christ, that they would not only bring their giftings and strengths to see your kingdom come, but also we as Adventure Church would be able to bless them as well and bring our giftings to see them blessed and called up into who they are. And I just pray you bless their friendships and relationships as they settle in here and make this their home. And we just thank you for bringing them here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Welcome, guys. Thanks. What's up?
Any more?
Something after that?
I do.
Okay. So just real quick, too, wanted to remind you guys on Communion Sundays, we just remind you that there is a care offering box on the back table there. That's a separate offering that we take. It's always back there, but we keep those funds separate and just use them to bless people who have needs in our community.
Thank you, Jeff. Excited to see you back tonight at Adventure University. Ladies here and guys over there. Real quick, just correction. Somebody in the back said, hey, I think you said this, and it was not correct. In about 12 months, the Griffins are going to start the process of planting for a plant 18 months to 24 months out. So we're not planting in 12. We're not planting in 12 months because we'd be freaking out right now. All right, so have a great rest of your Sunday.